Welcome to downtown Los Angeles. This is the weekly wrap-up with Ken August, where we get you caught up on the week's biggest stories the least depressing way possible. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Weekly Wrap. Subscribe free to the Weekly Wrap-Up at the iTunes Store. And you can hear us now, actually, I'm happy to say, on Extreme XM 165. We are being rebroadcast on Extreme XM 165. And you can always listen to us live every Sunday, 4 o'clock Pacific time, at skidrowstudios.com. Make sure you download it from iTunes Store, and that way you do not miss an episode. I am your host, Ken August. That was a lot to say at the beginning of a show. I am joined today by the very funny Becky Kluger. How are you?
Great. Hello.
And Sal Rodriguez, host of Registered Ear Offenders. How are you, buddy?
Thank you, Ken. It's great to be here.
That was nice. You were all over that.
That sounded professional.
That did.
You did.
That's as good as I get. It's all downhill from here, by the way.
Set the bar high, my man. All right. Well, coming up later on the show, let me fill you in. We got after a rough couple of months for Speaker of the House. Holy crap. After a rough couple of months, Speaker of the House John Boehner is being punished by being reelected as Speaker of the House for two more years. And the 113th Congress was sworn in this week. Hopefully they didn't pay attention to what the 112th Congress was doing. Those people were horrible. And after days of massive protests following the horrifying death of a rape victim, India is considering changing its stance to anti-rape. It's a nice stand to make. I find most reasonable people these days are anti-rape.
And, anti-legitimate rape, anyway.
Yes. And the survivors from the Sandy Hook tragedy went to school this week. There were armed guards at the school, I'm assuming to shoot anyone with a video game, movie, or music, because according to the NRA, that kills people. And the NFL playoffs started this week. If you're coaching one of the teams that didn't make it, there's a good chance you've been fired already. But first, with the deadline expiring, Congress finally struck a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff, proving that Congress only sucks 99% of the time. Listen to this from CNN.
A central premise of my campaign for president was to change the tax code that was too skewed towards the wealthy at the expense of working middle-class Americans. Tonight, we've done that. Thanks to the votes of Democrats and Republicans in Congress, I will sign a law that raises taxes on the wealthiest 2% of Americans while preventing a middle-class tax hike that could have sent the economy back into recession and obviously had a severe impact on families all across America. Under this law, more than 98% of Americans and 97% of small businesses will not see their income taxes go up. And 2 million Americans who are out of work but out there looking, pounding the pavement every day, are going to continue to receive unemployment benefits as long as they're actively looking for a job.
Okay, so that was President Obama, obviously, sounding unnecessarily happy, but satisfied with what they accomplished by avoiding the fiscal cliff.
Well, this sucks, though, Ken, because now that he mentioned the top 2% wealthiest, I don't have to change my T-shirt. I am no longer a 99%, but now I'm a 98%.
Well, now, yeah, keep your shirt. It's retro now, dude.
Okay.
That'll be nice. You can remember back when you were the 99%er. Well, let's see if the Republicans came out of these negotiations with the same sense of accomplishment.
The days leading up to the fiscal cliff were obviously tense, but a new article by Politico shed some light on just how frustrated the two sides were with each other. One exchange in particular stands out when House Speaker John Boehner dropped the F-bomb on Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid on Friday. Go F yourself, Boehner sniped as he pointed his fingers at Reid, according to multiple sources present. Reid, a bit startled, replied, "What are you talking about?" Boehner repeated, "Go F yourself."
First of all, what are you talking about? It's not a great response to go fuck yourself.
Did he say go F yourself or go fuck yourself?
I believe he said go fuck yourself. I don't think Newsy, that was from Newsy. I don't think they wanted to say that.
Because if he said go F yourself, that would have been weird and inappropriate. Would have been confusing.
And you would think Harry Reid as a Mormon would have understood go F yourself more than go fuck yourself. But still, they didn't seem all that happy about the way things went. That was a fiscal cliff coming out after the fiscal cliff negotiations. And it shows you the difference between one side and the other. Who won? Who won? Did anybody win this thing, or did everybody come out looking bad?
Well, obviously, everybody came out looking bad. But the thing I don't understand about the whole fiscal cliff thing is that essentially they try to impose all kinds of new laws all at once, right? It's all supposed to happen at the same time, which would then have had negative ramifications on the entire U.S. economy. But that's like saying, on January 1st, my New Year's resolution is to stop cussing, stop smoking, stop eating sweets. You know, it's like trying to do everything all at once, and you know it's going to be a disaster.
Well, slightly different. It is the rules that they passed. It wasn't what rules they passed. It was, if we can't come to an agreement, we're setting up something that's going to suck that neither side's going to like. So before we get to that point, we're going to have to come to an agreement. It's more like you saying, you know what, I'm going to stop smoking. But if I don't stop smoking by, you know, January 1st, I'm going to shoot myself.
But all these laws were supposed to come into place, right? Like if Congress did nothing, all these new tax codes, laws, you know, deductions here, increases there, were all going to take place.
Yes. Well, what they set up was that by that deadline, all these spending cuts and tax hikes and all these things that both sides would not be happy with would automatically kick in if they didn't come to an agreement.
And the reason they set that up was because they were so stuck in deadlock the last couple of years. They thought, okay, well, let's force ourselves to make an agreement at this later date.
Yeah, isn't that nice? We can't agree on anything. So you know what? Let's put a gun to our heads and see if we can agree on anything.
Well, in college, they call it cramming.
They do. I asked that last week. I said, you know what? My father said to me, why would you not just work half as hard for a while longer? As opposed to these guys going, well, you know, it's the last couple of days. Now we can do it.
Well, apparently they don't work well under pressure.
Yeah, which is what the whole fiscal cliff thing did to themselves, which is nice. The original tax plan for Obama that they were floating was that they would save the tax cuts. Taxes would go up on anybody over $250,000, I believe is their original claim. They have upped that to anyone over $400,000 and married couples over $450,000, your taxes will go up. Which I'm not married, but I believe that means your spouse is only worth $50,000. but other than that, they went up from $250,000 to $400,000 to save basically, you know, to give up the tax cuts for that many people. But everybody over $400,000 is going to be paying more. Ironically, even with all this, everybody's going to be paying more anyway, because that's just for income tax. Mm-hmm. Federal taxes are going up anyway.
What about the upper-lower class, people like me? Upper-lower class.
Here's the thing is, people like you have to take out the word upper because you're lying.
People in the upper-lower class are most affected by state taxes anyway.
That's true.
So
that's true.
There you go. So it still sucks for you.
Because, no, I find every year I normally don't have to pay little or any federal, but we'll have to end up paying state.
Right.
So, I mean, the federal taxes are going up because there was a 2% increase that basically for Social Security, 2% increase that's going back up. That was taken down by 2%, and now that is going back up. Nobody stopped it. So the strange thing about tax hikes basically seem to be when they just let tax cuts expire. Like they don't raise tax hikes. They're just like, all right, that thing we did temporarily, let's just not talk about it for a while. But who wins? I mean, I would assume if anybody wins on this, I don't know if anybody won. They're going to be arguing again in 2 months anyway.
Yeah, and here's one of the interesting things about it. Like, it really depends who you are. But no matter how you look at it, it's kind of a loss, right? Because if you're a Republican, you're like, no, or Tea Party Republican, you're looking at it as the Democrats just got a huge victory because Republicans just voted for a tax increase for the first time in 20 years. And that sounds pretty phenomenal. But then again, the Bush tax cuts cost of the tax cuts amounted to twice as much as the Iraq war costed, which is a phenomenal amount of money. And all of those, but for 1% of them, just became permanent. I mean, that sounds like a huge loss for Democrats, even though Obama just won with a majority of the popular vote on a platform of raising taxes.
Yeah.
So I don't, that's crazy.
Yeah, did he really win? I mean, to me, I don't know if you really avoided the fiscal cliff as much as you just built a bridge to the next cliff in 2 months.
Yeah.
Why the word cliff? Wouldn't it be like fiscal wall?
No, because they want, you don't, have you fallen off a wall? Like, they have to crash.
But you crash into a wall. So essentially, we would have avoided a crash, not necessarily falling off a cliff. It would be depression or recession would be downward.
I think you can call it a fiscal, I'm going to explode on January 1st if you want. It's bad.
I like that better.
It's smooth. That is smooth. I mean, they're going to be fighting in what, 2 months over, or maybe a month over raising the debt limit.
You're talking about the next Congress?
Yes. The next Congress is now in.
Which is essentially almost the same Congress. We have a 91% incumbent rate now.
Yeah, don't bum my high, man. I would like to assume that this next Congress is going to be better than the last Congress.
Next Congress is 91% the old Congress. I mean, right? Am I wrong or am I right?
No, you're right.
No, you are right. But shortly before this last Congress, the 112th Congress left and was finished, and you know they had to bring in the 113th Congress, they were brave enough. They passed the fiscal cliff deal, and then they were brave enough to not vote on Sandy relief, relief for Hurricane Sandy, in which case there was all sorts of hell to pay for John Boehner, mostly from his own side. This is Chris Christie just laying into him afterwards. Maybe it's not Chris Christie playing. But we have Chris Christie, and then we have John King as well, also hammering him.
10 days after Katrina, yeah. $60 billion was appropriated. 9 weeks after Sandy, not one penny has been appropriated. And let me just make this one point. These Republicans have no problem finding New York when they're out raising billions of dollars. They're in New York all the time, filling their pockets with money from New Yorkers. I'm saying right now, anyone from New York or New Jersey who contributes one penny to congressional Republicans is out of their mind.
Hitting them in the pocketbook, that's big. That is big. That was Republican New York Congressman King who just basically said, don't give them any damn money.
You know, comparing Katrina, he mentioned Katrina, the fact they haven't given any money to New York and New Jersey just proves what we've known all along, that the U.S. government is prejudiced to white people.
Prejudiced against white people?
Prejudiced against white people.
Yeah, no, they seem to hate white people. We'll wait for Kanye West to make that announcement, but yes. that was Peter King on Fox News, who was furious, and he came after Chris Christie was named Boehner specifically as far as ruining.
There's only one group to blame for the continued suffering of these innocent victims, the House majority and their speaker, John Boehner. This is not a Republican or Democratic issue. National disasters happen in red states and blue states, in states with Democratic governors and Republican governors. We respond to innocent victims of natural disasters, not as Republicans or Democrats, but as Americans, or at least we did until last night. Last night, politics was placed before our oaths to serve our citizens. For me, it was disappointing and disgusting to watch.
It was Chris Christie from the Associated Press just ripping into the Republican Party.
Chris Christie's going to become a Democrat. He is. Remember like Joe Lieberman? Remember a few years ago, Joe Lieberman, people were saying, oh, he's really a Republican. You know?
Yeah.
I think Chris Christie is going to go to the other side of the aisle. That's what I think.
Yeah, that is it. He technically can be on both sides of the aisle. He's a big boy. they waved off the vote because he felt after the big fiscal cliff deal, he wasn't sure he was going to get enough Republicans to vote for the $60 billion aid for victims of Hurricane Sandy. Apparently, he felt it's easier to reunite the band Nirvana with Paul McCartney as Kurt Cobain than it is to get some Republicans to give money to the needy. So they held off, and then people freaked out, as we heard. And so he held just a $9 billion, and they'll come back for the other $51 billion in a couple of weeks. 67 people, 354 to 67, it was voted for. All 67 that voted against it were Republicans who felt you shouldn't give the aid without balancing it with spending cuts. Nice.
Oh, so
I don't understand the politics of that at all.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Go ahead. The reason that they voted against it was because maybe they thought there would be corruption, that we're going to give the states $60 billion, and they're going to, you know, some of it's going to end up in people's pockets. That wasn't their concern?
No, their concern was, one, we spend too much money. And two, they already gave in on stuff, and so they don't like giving out a whole lot of money. The other thing of what they're saying, and this, I don't have a problem with them having, if they would have quickly amended it and sent it back, they say that there's a lot of stuff in there that doesn't go directly to Sandy-related events, some of which they should still just pay for because it's planning for future Sandy-related type events. Not Sandy, but other hurricane and flooding events. They're trying to replenish the system that can help pay out aid to victims. But there's other things where, you know, you're repairing Cape Canaveral and things along those lines where they're saying that shouldn't be in there. Again, it's similar to the question of why do they only pick this shit out when it's not for them?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this doesn't happen in every bill that's ever been passed by Congress before.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided they weren't going to vote. So 67 of them said I'm not voting for it, including, I believe, Paul Ryan voted against it.
What a dick.
Yes, that is true. But they got $9 billion in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, if you're living without a house, you can wait 2 more weeks and then hopefully they'll vote on it then. That's nice. That is nice. The 113th Congress, though, already voted on one more Sandy aid bill than the 112th Congress, which is a little ridiculous. And as we've been hearing, it's been a rough stretch for Speaker of the House, John Boehner. So he had to be very happy to watch the 112th Congress expire at the end of the year. Unfortunately for him, he has to stick around and be Speaker of the House for the 113th Congress. This is from PBS NewsHour.
On this third day of the new year, the U.S. Congress officially reconvened for the 113th time, bringing a new set of faces to join those already in place and a familiar set of issues. But the spotlight today was primarily on House Speaker John Boehner. He's coming off bruising battles over the fiscal cliff bill within his own caucus and criticism for delaying a vote on Hurricane Sandy funding. Today, he won another 2-year term as Speaker with 220 votes. A dozen Republicans either voted against him, voted present, or abstained.
I don't know if I would say he won. I mean, he got reelected, but I don't know if that's a win. He's had a hard time.
Well, and really interesting question is, with how intractable Republicans are and how unwilling to compromise on anything they are, if anyone could have done better than John Boehner?
No, that's a good question. That is a good question. And there have been times earlier on where you felt bad for him. You said, this guy seems defeated. He can only do so much. But he also, this is the closest any speaker has been to not being reelected since Newt Gingrich.
Who are these people that abstain? I think you should not be allowed to abstain from voting. That's why you're there.
But wait, what if there's like a week when a gazillion bills come up for vote and you just don't understand one of them? Isn't it better to just abstain?
It's your job to understand them. That's what you're there for.
What if 20 bills come up one morning and you're like, wait, I never really understood this one. And I would abstain.
I did take that, actually. I used that theory in college. If they gave me too much work, I'd just be like, you know, just
yeah,
too much.
Yeah.
I'm not going to class tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's too much work.
Yeah, but that would make sense because maybe you had a side job delivering pizzas or something. These Congress people, that is their job. It's not like they got side jobs.
No, they all
like
have side
lighting.
Jobs being corrupt.
Yeah, exactly. No, I... Well, it's no different than we talked about on previous shows when people at the United Nations aren't present. They're just an empty chair.
Yeah.
No. Sit your ass in the chair. That's why you're fucking there.
That is... Sal, like you all wound up.
Yeah.
You are listening to the weekly wrap-up with Ken August. We are on Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with SkidRowStudios.com. And you can always hear us live every Sunday, 4 p.m. at SkidRowStudios.com. And you can get the shows on iTunes at the iTunes store, I believe, if you just look for the weekly wrap-up.
You can also listen to the show on your phone. You know, I enjoy listening to weekly wrap-up on my iPhone while I drive. With only one earpiece, by the way, you cannot have two.
Is that true?
Yeah, you're allowed to have one earpiece, but you cannot have two headphones in each ear. Depending on the state, in California, you can only have one.
What if both voices in my head are talking to each other?
Well, you have to take it up with the police officer.
You have to just make sure one of them can hear the emergency vehicle.
That's right.
According to the Huffington Post review, the now expired 112th Congress is set to go down in American history as the most unproductive, or is that the least productive?
Least effective.
Yeah, I mean...
Someone's a shitty writer.
Is most unproductive? Yeah, I mean, do
most
I need...
Most unproductive?
Do I need... That's how they word it. Do I need to question the accuracy of a poll that can't word the poll correctly? Perhaps. But... they have signed 200. Obama has signed 219 bills passed by the 112th Congress that have been passed into law, at least as of a couple of days before it expired. So there's probably a couple more on there. The previous Congress passed 383 bills. That's a whole lot. You're looking at 160 bills almost difference between the previous one and this one.
And a lot of them were massive. And when you think about it, what the legacy is of some even really popular presidents like Reagan and Clinton, they don't have a lot of huge legislative legacies that still live on. But Obama has, you know, the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yes.
And the Stimulus Act and all this stuff. And I think that's part of why people hated Nancy Pelosi so much, was because she was such an effective speaker.
Yeah, well, she was a hard person to like. She did feel like you were getting
like
scolded
her.
From the PTA, the head of the PTA.
But she's only
time.
Like 3 feet tall. Did you know that when you see her? I heard this is another comic strip. When you see her on TV, that's her actual size.
That is
so it's impressive.
That is nice. If you're into pocket sized lawmakers, that is nice. So even if you've ever heard of the Do Nothing Congress, which was with President Harry Truman. They passed 906 bills. 906 bills. We passed in the last one 200, and what did I say, 219?
And what's average? What does the average Congress pass?
Average, I do not know, but we are 100 plus behind the previous Congress that had done nothing. The previously low since 1940s. Mm-hmm. They were in the 300s. We are in 219, I believe.
But now, I'd like to see who, you know, here's what I want to know is what were the bills? You know, that would be like me saying, I slept with 100 women last month. Yeah, but what did they look like?
Well, that is true, but I will say this. Out of the 200 and something, and I would like to see what they look like as well, Sal, but out of the 200 and something that Obama has passed, 40 bills concern renaming post offices or other public buildings, and another 6 deal with commemorative coins.
Yeah, so really important stuff is what we're talking about.
So, here. I mean, you can take a whole bunch out of there.
So some of the women were fat. Although, let's say that.
As opposed to the do-nothing Congress, which passed 906 bills. Although that was a different time. Back then, you know, they passed laws walking barefoot uphill both ways. Nowadays, nothing. They do nothing. They just, as a matter of fact, the House did find time to vote on repealing Obamacare 30 times, even though it had no chance of passing. That's how they spend their time.
So Congress was actually more efficient before the internet.
What's interesting also is that this Congress has the lowest approval rating since these polls started being taken, which is around 10%. But in each particular district, congressmen have very high approval ratings.
That's interesting.
Politics is local.
Yeah. Play who's going to get you reelected, not what's going to be the right thing. So the 113th Congress, the bar is set pretty low for you. Just don't suck and you're going to look pretty good is what I'm saying. Unfortunately, in an ominous sign as to whether the two sides in Washington will be able to work together in the future, it seems you can't even have a bipartisan blood clot anymore. Here is a collection of assholes from Fox News.
When you don't want to go to a meeting or a conference or an event, you have a diplomatic illness. And this is a diplomatic illness to beat the band.
Charles, you had a good line. Hillary has severe Benghazi allergy.
She is the first reported case, and it's a very, very severe one.
Very, very severe. Let's see the medical report on that.
I'm not a doctor, but it seems as though that the Secretary of State has come down with a case of Benghazi flu.
I'm not a doctor, but I do play an asshole on TV. That was, I believe, Alan West. This is the same thing that they did with Petraeus. When Petraeus got caught having an affair, they go, oh, this is all to avoid testifying about Benghazi. These people are not dead yet. They can still testify about Benghazi. The ridiculous accusations that now I guess Hillary had to have somebody go in there and plant the blood clot, which is dedication to a lie. But a senior Hillary advisor told the New York Times, you have to be an imbecile to suggest that the Secretary of State would fake an illness rather than answer questions on Benghazi.
Well, they have released a medical report and it did show that she did legitimately have a blood clot, right?
That I don't know. I think Trump wants to see the blood clot's birth certificate.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, it is ridiculous because she can still testify. She had to cancel one of her, of a meeting. She's not going anywhere. They can still call her in. She's not going to disappear.
This reminds me of because we're down here at Skid Row Studios, and sometimes someone's screaming about something on the street and there's just no point in screaming back at them. There's no conversation. Like, this is the fact-free zone, Like, they don't even know what the scandal is themselves that they've been screaming about. Like, what's the Benghazi scandal? Like, what did they get out of, misspeaking for a day?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Then they have spent more of their time, and we have said this before, trying to find out how they can catch somebody in a lie on a talk show as opposed to how could we have stopped people from dying. So the whole thing has been ridiculously political. But anytime anything happens to a member of the White House administration, they say they're ducking something. And they just keep repeating it. And now people that watch Fox News think she's ducking something. Those damn fake blood clots. But in a rare case of bipartisanship, members of both parties have found reasons to not like Chuck Hagel. And former Republican Senator Chuck Hagel is expected to be nominated this week to be the next Secretary of Defense. In the past, he has upset gay rights groups, Becky, some of your people. He's upset pro-Israeli groups, a lot of my people. And Sal, you're Mexican, so Republicans don't really care what you think.
They have, no. Well, if they have a stance on immigration, then they will, appreciate my vote, maybe.
That is nice. So Chuck Hagel is going to be nominated. And I can't pretend that I know too much about Chuck Hagel's Secretary of Defense qualifications. But as far as what he has done to piss off some pro-Israeli people, one, he referred to the pro-Israeli PAC, the American-Israeli Committee, as the Jewish
PAC, I believe, Super PAC, or the Jewish Committee.
And didn't he call New York Heimy Town?
No, that was... No, that's a good reference. That is a good reference, but that was Jesse Jackson.
Oh, okay.
But he said it... I'm sure he rhymed when he said it, which is kind of cool. I don't really have a problem with him, with Chuck Hagel giving his opinion. You're not a... He said, you know what, I'm an American senator, I'm not an Israeli senator. That's true. I have no problems with that. He's also... Some pro-Israeli people are not that happy with him because he is... he has been for more talking, more negotiating with Iran, with the Palestinians for Israel, and he has been against certain sanctions. And so if you are against anything that is not as hardcore against Iran as possible, then you are an anti-Semite, apparently. So he has to deal with that, although I don't think that is going to hold him back too much. And then he had his brilliant of what, 13 years ago when he questioned a Clinton appointee who was going to be the ambassador to Luxembourg, I believe. And he said he was too aggressively gay. That is awkward, Sal. That is quite awkward. Is that what you do? Has anybody ever been aggressively heterosexual? Does that happen?
Yeah, of course. Is it all in India?
But do you get called that?
I've never been called that.
Have you been called aggressively gay?
No, now I feel like maybe I was doing something wrong in my teenage years.
You were not doing it correctly. Too passively gay is what you were.
You're like the conscientious observers of gay. That's what you are.
His quote was, ambassadorial posts are sensitive. They are representing America. They are representing our lifestyles, our values, our standards. And I think it is an inhibiting factor to be gay, openly aggressively gay like Mr. Hormel to do an effective job. Does that piss you off? Would you not want this guy to be nominated because he said that 13 years ago? He did apologize, but although never to the guy. He didn't apologize to the guy.
The guy says he doesn't accept the apology because it was just... Okay, well, here's my problem. There's that, which is just kind of like, you're just a dick. But he's not going to be a policymaker, really. He's going to be the arm of the policymakers. But one of my problems is that why do we keep pointing Republicans to these... you know, army type stuff when, we have as Democrats this, like, we can't deal with defense. You got to vote for Republicans if you're into defense. So why do we get, we're like promoting that.
My guess.
But.
Go ahead.
But on the other hand, I've heard that one of the reasons Obama wants him in is because he does believe in actually getting a lot of the wasteful spending within the military, and it's easier for him to do that with a Republican appointee.
I agree with that.
And if that's really true, then I wholeheartedly support it.
I mean, I agree with that, and I think it's also, if you're going to look to be bipartisan in any way, you find places where you can appoint people of the other party that you're not going to disagree with too much in that role.
You're right, and...
I would vote that we change the name. I mean, really, Secretary of Defense, I think they should rename it based on our recent military pursuits, Secretary of Offense.
Well, it's not, it used to be Secretary of War. That's what it used to be.
You know what? That's more transparent, really.
Yeah. And if you are aggressively gay in Illinois, by the way, that's a good place to be. But number one, you should probably still be less aggressive. And number two, your state was on the verge last week of becoming the 10th state with marriage equality. But the vote had to be canceled because some Democrats took the day off, Sal. I know that'll piss you off. Hey, I was going to vote to give you equal rights, but there was 20% off at Knott's Berry Farm, yes, so I couldn't make it. Maybe next week.
I had to take my dog to the groomer that day.
Yeah, that is outrageous. They basically went, it's a holiday week, so I'm going to take off. We'll get to your equal rights.
I mean, maybe they're trying to galvanize more support now that because it is more in the press this week than that week.
I don't know. That is true. But they were saying that they believe they had the votes, but certain Democrats were not there.
Well, you know what's interesting about gay marriage is I've talked to people who propose, yes, I believe in gay marriage, that gays should have the rights. And then you ask them, do you believe in polygamy? And they say, no. Like, I would vote for gays to be married, but not polygamy. I support gays to be married and polygamy.
You just support anybody that wants to get married.
Any adult that wants to get married, as long as they all agree on it, they can all get married.
I got a problem.
Do you support polygamy?
No, I'm fine not doing it. But I'm also a very jealous individual. When I dated somebody, I don't like her talking to other people, not to mention marry somebody else. Plus, I wasn't a big fan necessarily of Big Love. So that might have ruined it.
Well,
and
one of the problems with polygamy is that historically it's been a sexist construct. And there's been a lot of abuse, like severe sexual abuse within polygamy.
You don't get a whole lot of women marrying seven guys anywhere.
Right. But I mean, That doesn't necessarily mean it should be, but I do think that it's a separate, we're talking about can one person marry another person and it not matter what their genders are. And then I think polygamy is then a different discussion.
Yeah.
It's a different discussion.
But maybe that's intellectually dishonest to me, but that's.
Well, no, no. You may, meaning like, if you're going to, you take care of the gay thing first, then you take care of the polygamy thing second.
I wouldn't put it that way.
No, but I believe, you know what? Look, I believe gays should be allowed to be married. But then I also believe that if a guy in Utah agrees with five women that they all want to be married, that they all should be allowed to be married too. I think it's that it has to do with a person's rights.
No, here's why I don't agree with that is because a lot of that then comes down to tax things and things along those lines. And now you start getting groups of 45 people getting married for tax reasons. You want to live together, live together.
Interesting.
You want to live together, live together. But, you know, we don't need extra loopholes. You want to love each other, love each other. And as long as you're an adult, you should be allowed to marry whoever the hell you want. Not necessarily how many of them, but...
That's a good point, though. We were talking to somebody on another show about gay marriage, and then we're talking about marrying somebody for their green card, and this guy said that he was... If gay marriage were allowed here, he would marry another guy so the guy could get his green card, who was just a friend of his, but was not... But neither of them were gay.
Well, gay people should be allowed to break the law the same way as straight people.
And Sal, for the record, your friend who's not gay is gay. All right, let's go to foreign affairs because other countries' problems make us look like we're in better shape by comparison. In Syria, analysts say 60,000 people have been killed in a nearly two-year civil war. And shortly after that, President Assad has now scheduled a rare address to the nation for today. I would not be surprised if that crazy person thinks he won something when they hit 60,000 deaths. He's like, all right, what do I get? Do I get miles or something? But let's listen to this from Newsy.
U.S. troops arrived in Turkey Friday to man Patriot missile defense systems near the Syrian border. According to CNN, Turkey reached out to NATO for military assistance after the Syrian regime began launching Scud missiles at cities near the Turkish border last December. In response, the U.S., Germany, and the Netherlands deployed Patriot air defense missiles to the border region to intercept any Syrian ballistic missiles. The missiles and troops will be under the overall control of NATO, but the missiles will be operated by U.S. forces. The Washington Post reports the U.S. could deploy up to 400 troops to operate Patriot defense systems, but that American units will be conducting a purely defensive mission in the area. The United Nations announced Wednesday that the death toll in Syria has now exceeded 60,000, 15,000 more than was previously thought to be the total.
So, merhaba to our Turkish host. You guys don't speak Turkish? You guys speak Turkish?
Nope.
No.
No.
Well, I dropped out of Turkish 101.
Well, according to Google, that was hello in Turkish. So we're there. We got 400 people there right now for, quote, defensive purposes.
Only. How come you never hear about Georgia or Armenia?
What do you want them to do?
I mean, do they have any military? I mean, they're right there. They're right there next to Turkey.
Yeah, they have the same capacity, I believe, military capacity as Skid Row Studios. So that's why you don't hear a lot about them. And Syrian President Assad basically made a speech today, and his speech was, hey, you know what? I'm willing to make some concessions. Sorry about the 60,000 deaths. What do you guys feel about the same deal I offered you a couple of months ago that you shit on? No? Nobody? And then he walked out.
Yeah.
That was nice. I mean, I feel there's no downside to that speech. Now, here's the thing. When you leave a speech and the group that you're walking past starts shouting, with our blood and souls, we redeem you, Bashar, I don't buy it. Who screams that? I don't buy it. That's what this mob was screaming for him as he was walking by.
Maybe it rhymes better in...
It does probably sound a lot better in a different language.
I heard that that's how the new 113th Congress will commence all of their meetings, actually.
and unfortunately, needless to say, we're over there on the border because much like Thanksgiving, Turkey is nervous. Somewhere... Ron Swallow is furious.
Ron Swallow
right
is
now.
Rolling over in his dorky grave.
And I tell you what, there's not a Turkish person in the world who would find that joke funny anymore. All right, well, we're going to have to get to this horrible story as well for a few minutes. The horrible case in India. This is from the Independent Television News.
The father of a 23-year-old Indian gang rape victim who died of her injuries has demanded the death penalty for her attackers. Five men have been formally charged with the gang rape and murder of the physiotherapy student. A sixth accused is under 18 and is due to be tried separately in a juvenile court. The attack on the student and her friend has fueled a nationwide debate about the prevalence of sexual crimes in India, where a rape is reported on average every 20 minutes. Days of protests in New Delhi and other cities followed the attack, many infuriated by what they see as the failure of the government to protect women. In response, the government set up two panels headed by retired judges. Chemical castration and the death penalty in rape cases are among proposals under consideration.
I don't like using the phrase chemical castration.
You know, I didn't. What do you guys think about that?
What does that involve?
I can figure out how it ends. I don't know what it involves, but
they give you a drug that makes you impotent forever. It's like the anti-Viagra. Is that what it is?
You see, that works. That's more peaceful than what I was thinking. I was thinking there's some kind of acid on my parts. That's what I'm thinking. What do you mean? No, it's castration.
They would pour acid on your testicles.
It's castration. Something's disappearing. You guys are like, no, they're way too humane over there. What are you talking about? There's a rape every 20 fucking minutes,
and that's reported.
Yeah,
that means it's probably happening every 5 minutes.
Yeah, that is true. So for anyone who didn't know, there was a couple was, they thought they were getting a ride home in a bus. She was 23 years old and her male companion, and they were beaten while being driven around, beaten, and she was raped violently. Not that there's a way to rape someone not violently, but even more violent than some other cases, and then dumped on the side of the road. And apparently, according to the male companion who lived, people didn't help them for a half hour or so. And then when the cops showed up, they argued for another half hour as to whose jurisdiction it was.
She was bleeding profusely.
Right. And then eventually died from internal injuries. So the cops obviously are arguing that, but they have arrested six people, five of them adults, and the sixth is a 17-year-old who, instead of facing the death penalty because he's 1 year too young, is only eligible to get 3 years, which is bullshit. I mean, monsters like that are the reason why I don't have a problem with the death penalty. I don't trust the system that usually puts people away for the death penalty, but
that's interesting. What are you for the death penalty, but against the castration?
Well, I'm against anything where I have to say chemical castration, but I'm...
What if we called it...
It would be harder to spell, but my problem with death penalties, if something happened to my family, I can't sit here and say for 1 second that I would go, well, you know what? No, an eye for an eye is not good. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. If they killed someone in my family, that person should not be allowed to have any good times for the rest of their life.
Right.
I personally would think a couple of things. I have the guilty as piss rule. The guy from Aurora, Colorado. There are people that survived. They know it's him. He was caught. There's no doubt it's him. That guy should be allowed to die. They should test on him so we can get some use out of the guy first. And then right. You should let the victim's family kill him.
I know I've made this point before and I won't go into it, but actually legislating, putting into law guilty as piss is nearly impossible.
Yeah, you may have to reword it.
But it's not just rewording it, but actually asking the jury, okay, how guilty, how guilty passed
caught,
beyond a reasonable
caught
doubt?
Caught in the act. Caught in the act, or how about you admitted to it?
Caught in the act. Which witnesses are saying they were caught in the act? You see how complicated this gets?
No, I do. But for the simple answer, right off the bat, I would say if people in the theater saw you with a gun shooting other people, that's a good indicator that you're guilty.
But that's so anecdotal. Like, how do you make it universal enough to apply to all people? And here's the other thing I think.
That is true.
You can kill you can kill someone and it's not so bad of a thing, right? Like, there's so many justifiable reasons to kill someone. Like, if they were attacking you, whatever. You lost your mind after you saw them raping your daughter. But there's never a justifiable rape, ever.
No.
But for some reason, the sentences are so much lesser and we're like, no, we don't want to castrate people. But it's just interesting. I don't know if I'm for it, but just interesting.
I don't have a problem with getting rid of certain people. It's just I have a problem. There's been too many mistakes made for people in prison that shouldn't be in prison. So whether they're mistakes or whether it's done by crooked people, I don't trust the system, but I don't have a problem with people being punished to the fullest extent of the law and sometimes beyond that.
Well, I base my opinion on humanity by reading Yahoo News article comments.
Yeah. This
is
a good move.
And it appears that most people want other people to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they'll at least watch it. And speaking of animals like that, we'll talk about the Taliban briefly. Malala, the Pakistani schoolgirl who was shot in the head 3 months ago by the Taliban for advocating the education of girls, has been discharged from the British hospital that she has been in. Now, I'm not a big fan of brainy chicks either. I'll go with that. But how crazy misguided do you have to be? How messed up are your beliefs to think you need to kill a teenage girl for wanting to learn? I mean, I can't even imagine. How are you going to deal with people like that if there's a group of people who think she has to be killed because she wants to learn? Not only are you crazy, you're a horrible gunman because the girl is now being discharged from the hospital.
She's also pretty, too. She was actually a pretty girl.
it's extra tragic.
Yeah, it is his point. It is.
I mean, way to somehow make this tragedy sexist.
What it is that you know, if she were unattractive and outspoken versus attractive and outspoken, more of a threat. Bigger threat.
I think you're a threat if you're a woman not locked up somewhere in that part of the world. Because if you're learning, you're in danger. And
and that's an interesting thing. Threat to what? It's a threat to the male-dominated power structure.
Sure.
Which, in all of these places, clearly, you know, trying to hold on to that is a cause of a lot of violence and a lot of poverty, too. Because when women don't have access to birth control, instead they wind up having more kids that wind up being more poor because da-da-da-da-da. So...
Yeah. I mean, even in Saudi Arabia, we said a couple of weeks ago, Saudi Arabia has their women being monitored and they send a text message to her male guardian if she tries to cross a border. I mean, how is that not slavery right there? But they're an ally, so we don't talk about it that much.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you reason with people? She's going to stay, Malala is going to stay, I'm assuming. I'm assuming as soon as she was healthy enough to be able to call home and say, just mail my shit to England. She did that because her father took a job in England. She's going to stay there because the Taliban has vowed to go after her again if she returns.
So these guys who shot her,
yes,
are not apprehended or charged or
who? No, they're the Taliban. You don't know who the hell they are. They don't know who it was.
They don't have the actual identified perpetrators.
No, none of that. I do not believe. And they have vowed to go after her again. You know, because the Taliban really knows how to get the people on their side. Nothing is really more of a crowd pleaser than saying we will kill that woman. But I don't know how you reason with that. And we're not always that much better. The Steubenville, have you heard? I went down 2 minutes on this, but the Steubenville, Ohio rape case, where a 16-year-old girl was allegedly drugged by two high school football players she knew and dragged from party to party and raped occasionally throughout the night. People think the police have been covering it up, some of the stuff for the football players who have been arrested since then. So a group of hackers started releasing information from people talking about the case. Some of which has not been proven yet, but you have certain athletes who are talking about the victim and saying they were there and they've seen it. So, and they've been releasing information whenever they can.
And one of those videos was just so hard. I watched it this morning on YouTube. These boys just making fun of raping this girl and what it was like to fuck a girl who was unconscious. Just like, teehee. And can I just say, football, not baseball. Football players, not baseball players. Just want to throw that out there.
As far as rapists?
Mm-hmm.
And not lacrosse. And not lacrosse players.
Not tennis.
So, okay. So you think it's sports related. That's interesting.
It's just a fact. That's all.
That is interesting. Well, what about Kobe Bryant? Did he do it? He's not football.
That's not America's pastime either. Baseball is. That's all.
That's it. So baseball. So you're just basically just saying baseball players are not rapists. Is that what you're coming with?
Not as often.
Okay.
I do believe that.
That is quite a stand.
And you think that there would be more baseball rapists, being that there's so many more baseball players, right?
Well, maybe we should look into it and we'll find out why there's not. We'll say you guys, I don't know what you're teaching your players.
It's just a more moral thing to do, baseball over football.
Becky, do you ever want to be on the show again?
You know what? It's not easy to throw in some jokes about this topic.
No.
I'm doing my best.
And I love you for it. Former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords visited the families of Newtown, Connecticut this week as Sandy Hook Elementary School students returned to school. Giffords was shot in the head 2 years ago in Arizona, but I forget if she was shot by a music video or a video game or a violent movie. This is from Newsy.
Gabby Giffords looks to offer her condolences to Newtown families. Here's Fox News with the details.
Former Congresswoman and her husband Mark Kelly are expected to meet with the families of the children who were murdered.
Giffords was shot in the head during a 2011 mass shooting in Tucson. 6 people were murdered in that massacre and 12 others wounded. Giffords has since become known as an advocate for gun control. On her Facebook page, she shared a post from her husband the day of the Newtown shooting. It said, the children of Sandy Hook Elementary School and all victims of gun violence deserve leaders who have the courage to participate in a meaningful discussion about our gun laws. This can no longer wait. After President Obama developed the Commission on Gun Control, Bloomberg said in a statement, the task force must move quickly with its work, as 34 Americans will be murdered with guns every day that passes without common sense reforms to our laws. And the students of Sandy Hook Elementary will return to school for their second day on Thursday. According to ABC News, it appears the students were happy to return.
Okay, so ABC News says they're happy, so we got that going for us. But the Connecticut residents are outraged that a gun show will take place just 40 miles from Newtown. That's nice. The officials, local lawmakers, said they wish the event had been canceled like other events since the tragedy, but they did not.
I do agree, though, Ken. I mean, with what the NRA says as far as video games, movies, music, mental health, I think it's all it's all one big problem, really. It's not just yes, I believe that there should be a lot of gun laws. You know, we definitely need to deal with that. But it is it's a symptom. It's a symptom of a sick culture. And the movies, the video games, that's all a part. You know, I forgot if it was Confucius or Lao Tzu that says, to judge a society, you have to look at its criminals. So you look at the prisons, you look at the criminals, and that's a part of the overall society. But that doesn't mean guns are off the hook, because guns are how these sick people perpetrate their crimes.
Yes.
So yes, I agree that there is excessive violence in our culture in video games and movies. Yes, you look at every given billboard, there's people running around with guns on the billboards for movies and so forth. But that doesn't mean that, well, just because the society is sick doesn't mean we can't look at the guns as well.
Of course. I agree with that. I mean, it'd be silly to think that guns make like people are completely normal and then they grab a gun and now they want to go out and kill people. Mm-hmm. There's crazy people in the world. There's all sorts of crazy and stupid and angry people in the world. But to make it easier for those crazy, stupid, and angry people to arm themselves doesn't make me any safer.
Yeah. I mean, I can't go out and drive an 18-wheeler. I can't get into an 18-wheeler and go drive it. I got to prove that I qualify and that I have a reason to be driving an 18-wheeler.
And then you're going to get pulled over because you're Mexican.
That's true. In Arizona, definitely.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think if I could control the conversation, I would delineate the issue of handgun violence and these mass shootings. Because I really do think that to say 35 people are killed by a gun every day, while I do think that is a huge problem, the problems that can be, you really can eliminate these mass shootings in the form that they exist by eliminating the number of rounds in a magazine and so on and so forth. And then I think attacking other kinds of gun violence is much more complicated. It makes it more difficult to want to attack the issue when we're talking about all gun violence.
Yes. I mean, yeah, you have to limit what you can. I don't think anybody thinks you can get rid of every bit of gun violence. And I don't think any person is necessarily saying, well, there can't be a gun anywhere in the world. Well, plenty of people are saying
because
that.
Because when Gabby Giffords was shot, she was shot with a bullet that was one of the last bullets in a huge magazine. And when that guy was, and there were Secret Service around, and he was finally shot when he went to reload. And he would have reloaded a lot sooner if it were 1992. Yeah. I mean, 1994, right after, assault weapons ban.
Yeah, I mean, the assault weapons ban, the assault weapons is ridiculous. People don't need, unless you're military, you don't need that kind of weapon. And if you are, well, and in New York, I don't know if you guys heard about this. If you are licensed to carry a concealed gun in New York, your weapon may be concealed, but your identity may not be. A New York newspaper published the names and addresses of all licensed concealed weapons owners in two New York counties. The age-old question, if a weapon is still concealed, if everyone knows you have it, and if a gun falls in a forest, do I have to arm all the trees? I believe that was the other question.
Is this a matter of public record? I mean, like the deed of a house is public record. A gun permit is public record.
Yes, that is all public record. You are listening to the weekly wrap-up on Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with Skid Row Studios. You can listen to us live every Sunday at skidrowstudios.com at 4 p.m. Pacific time, and you can make sure you get every episode by downloading it at iTunes. Yes, that was all public record.
What's the objective to list the names of the gun permit holders? What are they trying to accomplish with this?
My guess is saying, well, you're no longer concealed, and maybe to shame them is my guess. I mean, there are cases, from what I understand, of people who have been hiding from a stalker. Now their address and phone number has been listed. I am not pro-gun, but that I think was absolutely ridiculous. And the NRA retaliated by actually printing the names, addresses, and phone numbers of all the people that work at the, or at least the upper personnel that work at the newspaper. Somehow the newspaper personnel said, well, that's not fair. We have families. Like, well, you just did it to us.
Yeah.
You just did it to us. So that's a tough one to really feel too bad for them. You know, even when you're on their side and they do something that you can't back up, that is a little
annoying.
Well,
I think that, though, this is an example of the First Amendment working well, because we like to think, well, we as the government don't have to limit ideas. We can just let the marketplace of free ideas figure itself out. And in this marketplace of free ideas, I think we've all agreed that what this newspaper did, kind of a dick move. Newspaper should do that again. And you don't really need the government to step in. I think that they've been shamed pretty well. to not doing it again. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I mean, unfortunately, they don't agree with you because they're trying to get a third county's list, but that county, Putnam County, is
Never mind. First Amendment not working as well as I thought.
No. I mean, people may agree with you, but the people that did it are sticking by their guns. They're doubling down.
Well, it's because you have to look at the difference between what is a newspaper's job or a news source's job is to report news, not to create news.
They were essentially
creating something instead of just reporting something.
No, that is a valid point. They were looking that was fully an activist move. There's
these
no
are
doubt
death throes
it.
From print media.
I don't trust enough people. I don't like you putting everyone's names out there. It's an emotional issue, and people don't necessarily act all that rationally.
I mean, haven't there been people that wanted to put people that have had abortions put their name in the paper as well?
That's not a matter of public record.
Yeah, that is not public record.
You don't register your abortion with the local.
Although the Republicans would like you to have to do that. All right, we're going to lighten up things a little bit. We're going to go to sports for a couple of minutes, although we're not going to lighten it up too much because we're going to talk about Ray Lewis, one of the most feared men in the history of the NFL, OJ, the murderer not included. Ray Lewis announced his retirement the other day, and if you think he was scary on the field, listen to him talking a couple of years ago about the potential NFL lockout on ESPN.
Watch how much evil, which we call a crime, watch how much crime picks up if you take away our game.
Why do you think that would happen?
There's nothing else to do, Sal.
There you go. There's nothing else to do.
Oh, no, and he's retiring?
He is retiring. By the way, he was, he's one of the best linebackers of all time. Feared 17 seasons, 13-time Pro Bowl, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, one-time Super Bowl MVP. But man, when he says, you know what? If we have a lockout, crime's going up because there's nothing else to do is a fantastic thing. He also...
He means like people on the street or football players?
People in the street. People in the street.
Okay. I thought he meant football players.
No. People who would spend their time watching football are going to go. He did get the plea bargain down to a misdemeanor when he was involved in a double murder case in 2000, as long as he testified against his two co-defendants. I will say this, as a defensive player... You're a little harder to play against if you may be a murderer.
Mm-hmm. All you're doing is validating Becky's point earlier about football players.
Yes, Becky, you are absolutely correct. All right, we are running low on time, so let's get to headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, 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 read all about it.
I love that kid now.
I love Keith Coogan's grandfather.
Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez may be too sick or possibly too dead to appear at his own inauguration for his fourth term as president. Chavez hasn't been heard from since he went to Cuba in early December for a fourth surgery for pelvic cancer. This could actually be another opening for Mitt Romney to become president somewhere. He'd have to brown himself up again like he does when he talks to Latinos, but he has a shot. According to Fox News, though, Chavez just has a case of Benghazi flu, I believe. to be honest, I don't know too much about Hugo Chavez other than the fact that he's getting pretty close to probably becoming just a face on a T-shirt.
Well, he was a great boxer.
Wrong Chavez. So we will find out, but he is supposed to be inaugurated on Thursday, so we will find out if he can even make it. Also, according to South Korean newspaper, the late North Korean leader Kim Jong-il died of a heart attack while yelling at people about shoddy construction at a power plant.
What's the time? It's time to get ill.
Apparently, the cranky little bastard had a heart attack during a temper tantrum. And now the country is being run by a son who I believe is the same guy who sings Gangnam Style. I'm not sure if that is true. But I also think death by yelling at your contractor is actually the fourth biggest cause of death in this country. See here, we have...
That's number one in Malibu.
Rival Palestinian factions Hamas and Fatah seem to be on the verge of burying the hatchet. Although in that part of the world, that may actually consist of hitting someone with an actual hatchet. It looks like finally they're getting the band back together and Israel can have just one group together that hates them.
Did they ever figure out if Arafat was poisoned?
They're still working on it.
Okay.
Still working on it. Israel's only official comment, I believe, was oy. Paparazzo Chris Guerra, who had a history of following Justin Bieber around, ran across four lanes of LA's busy Sepulveda Boulevard on New Year's Day to take photos of Bieber getting a speeding ticket. On the way back to his vehicle, he was hit by a car and killed. It would have been ironic, by the way, if while he was dying, someone ran out and took a picture of him. That would have been. But turns out it wasn't even Bieber in the car that he was trying to get a picture of.
Who was he trying to get a picture of?
It was Bieber's car, but his friends got pulled over for a speeding ticket.
Oh, it wasn't Bieber. It was Bieber's car.
Yes. He thought it was Bieber.
Got it.
Which apparently was worth his life.
Wow.
Apparently another inconvenient truth for Al Gore is that nobody was watching his television station, Current TV, so he sold it for $500 million to another Al, Al Jazeera. $500 million, they currently have about 40,000 viewers a night. That's $12,500 per viewer. Pay me $10,000 and I'll watch your damn station.
Isn't that only slightly more viewers than the weekly wrap-up listenership?
They may be close. They're neck and neck right now.
Oh, my God. We should get sold to Al Jazeera.
Oh, my goodness. NBC came in first with 7.3 million. ESPN was tops with for cable with 3.5 million viewers, and they had 40,000. Out of 96 cable channels, 93 of them had higher ratings than Current TV.
What the hell's on Current TV?
Al Jazeera.
Keith Olbermann and...
Not anymore.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's been gone for at least a year. They fired him like a year into it.
I'll show you how much I watch it.
Yeah, no. Almost not at all.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett may need to get bigger pants because he's got some set of balls on him. The governor actually sued the NCAA alleging it was, quote, overreaching and unlawful, end quote, when it punished Penn State University for allowing reach-arounds that were unlawful. Guys, how do you have the balls to do that? He's suing... asking him to throw out all the fine, the vacating of the victories, the four-year ban, everything. Feels Penn State has been too harshly penalized.
I do agree with that. Actually, when I remember we were on this show and we were talking about the penalties that Penn State had to suffer as a result of the molestations, and I would agree. I would definitely agree.
At one point I did because I said, you know what, the people that are coming to the school now didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Here's when I changed my mind. The reason is Sandusky was an animal by himself. If it was just Sandusky, I'd have no problems with it. But people at the school let it go on for a long time, to protect the school. So if you therefore protect the school to say, well, it wasn't the school's fault, well, their whole plan on letting it go to protect the school has worked.
But meanwhile, you take away victories.
Yeah, which means nothing. If you were there and watched the victory, it means nothing. Now, who goes back to the record books to look at the victories? Nobody. So, I mean, it's an empty, that doesn't do much.
Again, we're talking about football, not baseball. Okay, yes. Carry on.
apparently, this is another case where you don't want to be too aggressively gay. The Church of England has lifted a ban on gay male clergy who live with their partners from becoming bishops on the condition they pledge to stay celibate. So just don't act gay. Maybe Chuck Hagel was on to something. Becky, do you realize that your gay half can become a bishop, but your woman half, not so much? How does that feel? Do you feel?
I'm so confused. Wait,
which half of you is gay and which half of you is a woman?
The Church of England, as far as they're concerned, as a gay woman, you're in higher standing than just as a woman.
Oh.
So you got that going for you. You're halfway to a bishop. Yes. Bishop, what do you do other than getting a hat? Well, I don't know what you get.
Yeah, that's all it is playing dress up and pretend.
Well, and you can go on an angle on a chessboard, I believe, as well.
Which sounds really gay.
The Kardashian family confirmed, quote, Kimye is with child, end quote. A statement that makes me wish the Mayans were right.
But that baby has already been voted sexiest baby alive.
I wonder how long, if it's a daughter, I wonder how long that daughter has to go before their mother tells her she has to do a porno.
The ultrasound is child porn.
I don't like any couple that squishes their two names together. Brangelina, Bennifer, Tomcat. I like Mois. That's Mike and Lois August. That's my parents. So it's the only one I like.
Wait, so what are Kim and Kanye?
Kimye.
Kimye?
Yeah.
That's like something you fucking order at a restaurant. Yeah. I'll have the Kimye, please.
It really does. All right. Time to get to what is wrong with people. Who's your douche of the week?
My douche of the week is the state of Kansas for a lesbian couple got a sperm donation on Craigslist. They broke up. One of the moms went to get Medicaid, and the state of Kansas is suing the sperm donor for child support. Dick move.
Really?
Dick move. Yeah.
So literally. Literally.
The mom doesn't want this. The mom's like, no, he gave up his parental right. Da, da, da. And because there's no gay marriage in Kansas, you can't sue the other mom for child support, right?
Right.
But also, real quick, John Boehner cried again during the inauguration. Please, listeners.
I heard he was holding back tears.
Yeah, oh, God.
Not,
he's just.
Not well.
No
not
one
well.
Cries more than Republicans. And Google 11 funniest John Boehner pictures of him crying.
Sal, what do you got, buddy?
I'm going to go ahead and go with Congress themselves. Yeah. And then they got another pay raise.
Yeah, well, hey, who hasn't earned that? in Congress. Are you kidding me?
You know what? Fuck them.
I'm going with Tom Corbett for deciding that somebody needed to stick up for Penn State University. That is ridiculous. All right. I'd like to thank everybody listening on Extreme XM 165 and anyone that's listening to us at SkidRowStudios.com. We will catch you next week. Thank you.
Come to Flappers tonight in Burbank.
Burbank.